Welcome to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Jody Peterson.
And I'm Corey Stanton.
This program is a call-in show that was recorded live on Tuesday, April 21st. Next Tuesday, April 28th, we'll have a live call-in show again. Our guests for that show will be teachers, parents, and kids dealing with remote learning during the pandemic. Stay tuned to KVNF for more details. It's no secret that the COVID-19 pandemic and the anxiety and economic difficulties it's causing are affecting our state of mind. Kaiser Family Foundation reports that nearly half of adults across the country say that worry, stress, and depression related to the coronavirus are hurting their mental health. To discuss this issue, we'll first speak with Sharon Raggio, President and CEO of MindSprings Health in Grand Junction, and Shelley Spaulding, CEO of the Center for Mental Health in Montrose. Then we'll talk to Danielle Kemper, a psychotherapist and clinical social worker in Hotchkiss. If you have questions to ask any of them, call in to 866-KVNF now.
And our first question, are you ladies on the line with us?
Yes, thank you.
Great. Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Our first question here is, the Western Slope is already an underserved area for mental health. Are you seeing an even greater need now?
I think the answer is yes, that we absolutely are seeing people very concerned. We also see people dealing with that concern, and they have to stay home. Mm-hmm. So the good news is we're able to reach people through telehealth and see people in their homes virtually. Additionally, both of our organizations are doing a whole variety of additional supports, such as Facebook Live, offering tips every day that is available. Additionally, there is a tool called MyStrength that is available that gives some self-help kinds of things. And both organizations have stood up a kind of a COVID support line. At MindSprings, which covers Grand Junction, that number is 1-877-519-7505. So I think the biggest thing we're seeing is anxiety increasing. Shelley, what would you say?
I would agree 100%, and I think one of the other huge issues that we're seeing a lot of is not only are people dealing with these issues, but a lot of people have lost their employment and lost their insurance, and so many of the people that are seeking services from us are needing to do so on a sliding fee schedule, which both of our organizations offer. And as Sharon discussed, we have also stood up a support line. That support line is available 24/7 and is staffed with master's level therapists, and you can call whether you're having an actual mental health crisis or whether you just need somebody to talk to and talk to about the issues you're experiencing with COVID-19. And the number for the Center for Mental Health support line is 970-252-6220.
Is there a longer wait than usual to get help for people with serious mental health diagnosis that aren't in crisis mode?
There is not. I think as Sharon spoke to earlier, with our ability to stand up telehealth fairly quickly and expand the already existing telehealth services, both of our centers do same-day access, and so someone can call and get into services either in person at certain locations or virtually on the same day.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
I would agree. There's not a wait. And I would just add that, in fact, some of the folks that were doing telehealth into their homes actually are preferring it. And they're saying, after this is over, please, let's keep doing telehealth because I don't have to worry. Does my car have enough gas in it to drive to your office? You know, do I have a babysitter for the kids to drive to the office? So it just is easier for a lot of people. And I'm thrilled about that. I think some things will remain that we've adjusted to because of COVID, and I think we'll continue to serve people in some new and unique ways, and that really helps in creating the reach and giving people easy access.
Yeah, I think that kind of distance work and distance assistance is something we're going to see a lot of after even after this is over. You know, I think a lot of people are realizing they don't actually have to be in an office for a lot of things and can do it remotely. So you had mentioned anxiety earlier as something that you're seeing a lot of in people, you know, as they deal with the stress of this. What other kinds of mental health issues are you seeing, and how are people coping with isolation?
Yeah, I think people are coping in different ways. One of the things I think folks are doing is some good things, which is doing some virtual dinners with friends or neighbors, and that's a real great way to do things. I live in a very rural community, and at 8 o'clock, I hear a lot of howling out in my neighborhood, which is just fun. I go out and howl with them, and that's kind of fun. I think we're also seeing just some additional stresses with respect to parents trying to work from home and having kids at home because all of the schools are closed. And how do you manage both of those things? So, again, I think both organizations have a lot of tips on each of our websites, as well as through our Facebook pages, that really can help parents know how to talk to their children about COVID, how to organize their day, what are your tips from working from home. The good news is there's just a lot of great support and resource information out there. Shelley?
Yeah, I would agree. We have really been trying to offer on our Facebook Live sessions each day and through some of the things that we are posting to social media, ways to continue to physically distance but stay connected. And as Sharon talked about, really encouraging people to be connected with friends. I think some of the other things that, you know, we're encouraging folks to do to deal with this anxiety is, you know, really thinking about the things that bring you joy, even when things are going well, whether that's as simple as spending time with a pet or lighting candles or doing some relaxation, getting outside, and really thinking about each day and helping people connect with what they're grateful for and thinking about what are the things that potentially have been a plus during this time that we have not been able to do during other or not taken time to do during other times when we were not dealing with being more isolated.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. Are you seeing more substance-related problems exacerbating mental health issues right now?
I think from the Center for Mental Health perspective, we have certainly seen, I don't know that I would say an increase. We've seen a very steady flow of services for individuals needing substance abuse. Our law enforcement agencies have indicated an increase in both substance use disorders as well as domestic violence. They have not, I would say, not made their way to us for treatment yet, but are certainly, I think, we're ramping up and gearing up for that to happen.
And I would say the same for your Grand Junction listeners that, you know, one of the studies you cited from Kaiser is exactly that so many people are concerned about their mental health and their well-being during this time of COVID. We also know that the purchase of alcohol has doubled in our state of Colorado. I don't have statistics on what's happened with marijuana shops and what their purchases have looked like, but if alcohol has doubled, I would go out on a limb and guess that marijuana purchases have also increased. And so people are clearly using substances to help as a tool or to get through this time. And in some ways, depending on the amount of consumption, that can be just fine. And in other ways, it can also lead to more serious problems. So I think the jury's still out, and we will see what this all looks like as we all start getting back out of our homes and start returning to an office and as this kind of unwinds.
Great. And for people who are just tuning in, could you maybe recap some of the resources that are available to people who are struggling with mental health issues at this time?
Sure. So for your Grand Junction listeners, MindSpring Health is your local community mental health center. And we do have a COVID support line at 1-877-519-7505. Additionally, our outpatient office in Grand Junction is open and accepting new folks and seeing people virtually. And you can just call and get an appointment, 970-241-6023. And again, we're using telehealth and you can be at your home and we can see you virtually, which is awesome. Another great tool that's available on our organizational website is MyStrength, which is a kind of self-help support tool that's available online and easy to use. It's in English and in Spanish, and there are tools that are oriented toward adults as well as tools that are oriented toward adolescents. Additionally, there's a daily, if not twice a day, Facebook Live 30-minute segment that's offering different tips on dealing with this COVID crisis and how we get through this. I think the thing for your listeners to remember is that no one's alone. We really are in this together, and there's a lot of supports out there. Shelley, how about from the Center for Mental Health?
Sure. For the Center for Mental Health, we have offices in Crested Butte, Gunnison, Hotchkiss, Delta, Montrose, Ridgeway, Norwood, and Telluride. All of our offices, with the exception of Crested Butte, are physically open. Crested Butte is providing services virtually, and you can reach the Center for Mental Health at 970-252-6220. And again, we have same-day access, so you can call and get in for an appointment on the same day. There is also a statewide crisis line, and that statewide number is 1-844-493-8255. And there are folks that answer that state Colorado Crisis Services line 24/7 as well.
Well, great. Thank you so much. And unfortunately, we're out of time and we'll need to go to our next guest. But thank you very much, Sharon Raggio of Mind Springs Health and Shelley Spaulding of the Center for Mental Health. We really appreciate you being with us. If you're just tuning in, this is Local Motion on KVNF. And this call-in show was recorded live on Tuesday, April 21st. And next up, we have Danielle Kemper, who is a psychotherapist and clinical social worker in Hotchkiss. So we've heard about the big picture of mental health services in our region. And so, Danielle, let's talk about what you're seeing as an independent therapist.
Hi. So what I'm seeing out there, I'm seeing obviously a high level of anxiety, some depressive symptoms. But what I want to say more about that is that I think what's going on is that this is about uncertainty. And across the board, and this is a pretty epic time right now, because this is something, the uncertainty that we're all feeling is something that people all over the world are feeling. And maybe it comes out in different ways. We cope with it differently. We use different coping mechanisms to get through the day, but everybody is feeling that uncertainty. And so in terms of my practice in the community, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a lot of people asking questions about, you know, am I normal to feel this way? I've been anxious. I've been snapping at people. I've been angry. I've been drinking a little bit more. So we're just, you know, we're seeing a lot of ways now that people are trying to cope and trying to get through the day.
Yeah. Are you finding that people are reaching out for help, or are they feeling like, oh, you know, my situation isn't that bad and I should just kind of suck it up and deal with this and not try to get some help?
You know, I've seen both. I mean, I have seen people reach out, and certainly the people that I'm working with have reached out, and new clients. But I think that this does go into how we look at mental health in general, and that we have this idea a lot of times that reaching out is weakness or vulnerability, that it's something negative, that we shouldn't do that. And so I think, you know, a lot of times people going through things that are hard, they would be less likely to do that. They would just think, oh, I can just pull myself up by my bootstraps and feel better about it. The interesting thing now, especially with things being shut down and being separated from friends and family, things like that, that we don't have a lot of our usual ways of of distraction and managing things. And so, you know, I'm hopeful. I tend to think of mental health services in general as not about having a hard time, not being able to do things, but more about looking for new skills, new coping mechanisms to reach farther and do more. So I'm hopeful that people will be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned snapping at people, and I'm sure there's a full swing of emotions right now. Is it normal to have severe mood swings in a crisis like this?
It is. It is. If there's such a thing as normal, I would say that, yes, we can expect that. We can expect mood swings. We can expect a lot of fuzziness. I know I've been thinking about this since you and I talked last week, that when I was trying to write down the date in my calendar about when this show would happen, that I was in August, and my brain just could not process that you were saying, no, it's April. So I think even that fuzziness, those, you know, maybe we aren't someone who usually is short-tempered, but we can expect those changes now. We can expect that fuzzy thinking, forgetting where things are. A lot of what we're seeing now is a trauma reaction, right? It's the way that the brain, it's that fight, flight, freeze sort of mechanism that happens. And so the part of our brain that can even process through things and critically think, problem solve, that part of our brain isn't online. We go right into that sort of fight, flight, freeze mechanism.
Yeah.
And when that happens, we can expect fuzziness.
Yeah, there's a lot of nodding in agreement here.
Yeah,
I bet. I'm nodding right along with you.
Yeah. We're all trying to figure out how to cope the best we can. And a lot of us are, as our earlier guests mentioned, self-medicating with uh-huh. alcohol or whatever your relaxation or your drug of choice is. And I know I am certainly drinking more wine than normal.
Sure.
So how do these things help, and how do they harm, and how can people find solace in something that's maybe more healthy instead?
Well, that's a great question. So how they harm is that, you know, the things that we all know about it. So, for instance, alcohol, that can interrupt our sleep patterns. Obviously, it can cause some weight gain. It's an addiction at some point. It's a distraction. And that's why we use things to cope with. I think there are things, coping mechanisms that are positive, self-medicating that can be more positive. But some of those things don't help us. So I think in light of all of this, I like thinking about middle path more than anything, because I think when we get on that rigid sort of thing of, okay, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to try to change things, I'm going to do something different, we set ourselves up for failure. And this is not a time for that. I think this is a time for gentleness. This is a time for maybe balancing some of that. So if you have a glass of wine with dinner, how about having water? How about going out for a walk? Taking things that you're moving your body, you're being easy on yourself, you're looking ways to not beat up on yourself, because that's what a lot of us do as well. One of the things that I was thinking about that's interesting, and of course social media is great for this, but it was a meme that someone put out that said something like, if you don't come out of this pandemic having a new skill, or, you know, and named off a couple of things, then you've been wasting your time. And I thought about that, because you take all of these people, all of us are uncertain. I think there are people that are really, really struggling out there. They don't know how to pay their rent or to buy food. So we're all on this different spectrum of degrees of worry, and we're supposed to suddenly have a new hobby when we come out of this, when, you know, when it's pretty hard just to get through the day on this stuff. So I would say, how can you cope with that in a positive way? Move your body, try to balance your intake of food, all of the obvious things,
yeah.
Right? But above all, I would say gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
Toward ourselves, toward others. I think even, you know, looking at the news, which that's a great thing to have a diet on, obviously, because that can set off our systems in a very negative way. So kind of having a news diet and taking care of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you suggest specifically? You've given some other examples of, you know, going on a walk and stuff like that. But what can you suggest to couples and families who are having an unusually combative experience right now?
That's a good one. That's a hard one. You know, it's hard too when we take that to the end of the spectrum with domestic violence. I think that's a real concern here. But just in general, people that have not, we're all so busy, our lives are so busy, and suddenly you're sticking, and obviously we're not talking about everybody's experience here, because with our critical workers, there are people that are still going out of the home. But homeschooling, you know, people out of work or having to work from home, learning how to negotiate space in the house. So that's just some of the stuff, and I don't know how this is going to happen as we start to open up our state and open up the economy again, but for right now, really being aware of taking some time for ourselves and however we have to carve that out, negotiating that in the family so that people are moving around a little bit differently, taking care of each other in that way, giving each other space from each other, you know, again, going out, taking walks, things like that. I don't know if that, did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think everybody is going to have a unique experience too. So hopefully different people got a little bit of, you know, some different ideas from you.
Yeah. And you were just talking about ways that people can, you know, within a home can kind of get some space from each other and, you know, maybe get a little room to have some time to themselves. But another thing that a lot of people are experiencing is a feeling of isolation from those who aren't in their direct home. They, you know, we don't have much of an opportunity to connect with our friends so much now. So what are some ways that people can reach out and maintain social connection while still keeping that physical distance from the people that you don't live with?
Well, we're talking a lot about Zoom. We all love our Zoom now. And so that's a great way, having FaceTime with friends, Zoom sessions, just reaching out and calling people and letting them know that you're thinking of them or messaging them on whatever social media platform, but taking the time. And I think that when fear contracts, right, it makes us contract and it makes us shut down. So really making an effort to reach out helps maintain that social contact. I think the whole idea of social distancing is really difficult because just in those words themselves, literally, it's saying that we should be distant from each other. That's physical. That's not emotional. And, you know, I think we have taken for granted, a lot of us have taken for granted our contacts socially just because we do see people. We get to interact with our colleagues. We get to run into people at the grocery store. And a lot of that movement has been cut down, particularly if we are trying to stay home or have our jobs that we can work from home. So continuing to reach out is always, it's a really great and really necessary thing. We, as humans, we are social critters. And this is asking us in some ways to do something that is counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take a little bit more effort to reach out.
Mm-hmm. Where can we go from here once the pandemic is over? It seems like we're also being given a chance to reset our lives and kind of reshape how we want things to be.
So that's the most exciting part of this for me, which I recognize in talking about a pandemic, there's nothing exciting about that. There are losses, great losses of life here. We are, you know, that's the other thing that I think is interesting about this too, is that what we're experiencing are a lot of symptoms of grief, right? Grieving the way we used to do things, grieving those contacts. But this is a time, I think, and I've been thinking about this a lot, that after this pandemic, once we start to move back into functioning, my belief in this is that we're not going to go back to the way it was. I don't know how we can, but that gives us a huge opportunity, all of us, to look at ways we want to do things differently. I think there's a lot of opportunity here for people to get ahead of the curve on this and to start to look at how do they want to be in their lives? What do they want their social contacts to be like? And a lot of creative things coming out of this, too, that there's a lot of potential for creative people to get out there, business people to kind of get ahead of that. I think about this from an evolutionary standpoint, too, because I'm a little bit of a brain nerd with this. But I think about how species evolve under duress, right? So it starts to change when whatever is happening doesn't work anymore, and the species evolved. And that's, I feel like, what we're looking at here. We have this huge opportunity to do things differently, whether that means each of us in our own lives looking at the way we shape our social contacts or how we do our work or how we want to be in the world. So I don't know. There's a lot of opportunity here out of a lot of pain, and certainly we're not past all of this. I think we're still right in the middle of it. So the main thing I would say is, how can we manage those fear feelings? Because when you're in fear, you contract, and that's not where we can be problem solvers. So if we can up the self-care, if we can be kind to ourselves, if we can work on compassion, maybe even start to use a lot of mindfulness techniques, being present, all of those things are going to help us get to the next spot.
Yeah, it's good to think about the ways in which we can, you know, move forward and kind of reshape things going forward after we finally get out, after we get to something that's a little bit more normal. In just the last minute or so that we have left, do you have any specific suggestions for, you know, tools that people could use to think about how, you know, what things they might want to try to change in their lives?
Well, you know, I think that Mr. Rogers said it best when he said, look for the helpers, because there are helpers all over, and I think it's good to seek out, and this is a great mental health thing too. I think seeking out assistance, that is something we're really being taught in all of this, that to seek out contact, to seek out other people, even though we're distant. And so moving forward, I think there's a huge opportunity for growth here. So reaching out for help. Maybe you've thought about starting a new business, so maybe hiring a business coach or doing some work on yourself, maybe starting some goal setting or just thinking about where you want to be in your life, what you would like to change, and then seek out the helpers to help you get there.
Great.
Well, it's a great time to look for that.
Great. Well, thank you, Danielle. We really appreciate all your thoughts and insights, and thanks for being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
And that concludes this edition of Local Motion. This live show was recorded on Tuesday, April 21st, and this program is now available at kvnf.org. Next Tuesday, April 28th at 6 p.m., we'll have another live show. This one will feature teachers, parents, and kids dealing with remote learning during the pandemic. And listeners can call in with their questions or email them in advance to news@kvnf.org. For KVNF, I'm Jody Peterson.
And I'm Corey Stanton. Thank you for listening.